Well, good evening, and on a very different level, I also have some bad news and some good news. The bad news is that there is no Not Just for Kids this evening. The good news is that in discussing with Pastor Connolly and Pastor Wooster on the topic that I could be speaking on tonight, it was suggested that I cover the same content that the kids are learning about in VBS. And so this will kind of be like an extended Not Just for Kids for all of the not quite kids anymore group here in this room. And they also asked me if I could to kind of time my ending to the ending of VBS until 8:15. So, and I'm very thankful that you all recognize that as a joke, because it is a joke. We will not be quite that late this evening, but I do want to thank you for coming with the adjusted time frame this evening here in our evening gathering. And as Joel mentioned, tonight we are beginning Vacation Bible School, and tonight's topic is God is Great. And looking into the Word that He has miraculously, graciously, sovereignly spoken to us, I'm going to explore some of these truths tonight, and I'll be alluding to different terms that the kids might be hearing as well, such as explore and mystery island, and some other terms that they might come home saying are islanders, which is what we're calling all the kids at VBS, creature feature, which is the daily time when the islanders marvel together at God's design of various animals. A cool contest, and I think tonight's might be guessing how many Swedish fish are in a certain container. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to partake with them in their tropical treats. Tonight will be big Jell-O cups with gummy sea creatures, and unfortunately, we're not able to partake, but I hope they enjoy and don't have too much sugar this late in the evening. And so even tonight, as we discuss what the content that they're learning, it's basically based in a verse in Psalm and then a treatment of a passage in Acts. So there's about 19 verses. So this will not be an expositional phrase by phrase, verse by verse treatment of the subject. This will be more of a topical overview, trying to relate what the kids will be learning tonight in Vacation Bible School. And we'll begin this evening with the today's theme, God is Great, from the same passage our islander friends are learning about. And today's treasured verse is Psalm 145:3. Psalm 145:3, which says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." When I read this and other verses in Psalms that says, "God is great, praise God, praise God, praise God," it reminds me of the quote that some of you may have read from Reflections on the Psalms by C.S. Lewis. When he explains his light bulb moment in regard to praising God, he, and maybe perhaps you, were initially upset that someone would have the hubris, the gall to tell others to praise me, praise me, praise me. And that bothered Lewis before he was converted. And he writes this about that. He said, "The most obvious fact about praise, whether God or of anything else, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game. I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praise the most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praise the least. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it amazing? Don't you think that magnificent? The psalmist and telling everyone to praise God are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about." He continues saying, "My whole more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us what we delight to do, what we indeed can't help but doing about everything else we value. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses our joy, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. And the psalmist says, God is great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. And so this springboard in Psalm is what we're going to be jumping off of into our extended passage in the book of Acts. Our God is great. He is praiseworthy, and we can know him. As the kids will learn tonight, the phrase, we cannot have a God of our own choosing. He has communicated to us, and we have the honor and privilege of learning from him through his world created and through his world word incarnate. So now we'll turn our attention to Acts chapter 17. This is the Apostle Paul. He's waiting for Silas and Timothy to come and meet him. And he's waiting and waiting, but he is not idly waiting in the city of Athens, full of idolatry, full of corruption, full of sin. And in Acts 17, we'll quickly observe verses 16 through 34 in our passage tonight. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again about this. So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Long passage. Thank you for your patience as we observed it this evening. And we'll cover it in three major sections. First, verses 16 through 23. Pathetic idols among the religious. Verses 24 through 29, great God who reigns. And verses 30 to 34, assured future for all who repent. So looking in verses 16 through 23, These religious people were eager to hear something new and maybe even add another idol to their collection. Paul was walking around and noticed they had even an altar to an unknown god in case they missed one. He was provoked, greatly stirred up by what he saw, and he decided to do something about it and took an opportunity to speak the truth about his great God. And he began his discourse with a point of contact with his audience. One particular altar caught his attention, dedicated to an unknown God. One author writes, this gave him the perfect launching pad for his presentation of monotheism to the polytheistic and pantheistic Athenians. Piety had no doubt led them to erect such an altar for fear that they might offend some deity of whom they were unaware and had failed to give the proper worship. Paul would now proclaim a God who was unknown to them, but in fact this God, totally unknown to them, was the only true divinity that exists. And there is a lot of religion in our world today. I remember hearing a speaker say that he would go to universities and speak about the gospel. And before he got into the topic of the gospel, he would say, "I am searching for the truth." And they would all applaud him. "I am searching for the truth." And then he would follow up the statement, "And I have found the truth." And they would boo him off the stage. And in our world, we have lots of similar experiences. Oh yeah, seeking this, searching for this, find yourself here. But we have God revealed to us in his word, and we as believers can proclaim with Paul that God is known and he is knowable. And there are still yet idols today. The following slide is a picture from when I was living in Asia. And I remember going to many, many temples where people would pay money, be able to go to pray to different statues and idols. And the next picture is one that actually breaks my heart. It's a mom teaching her young daughter how to properly worship at this temple in Asia. And I wanted to run up to this little girl, grab her, look her in the eyes and say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what I really, really wanted to do. But I observed this scene with great sadness. Well, the next picture is from a different country in southeastern Asia at a bus station where people would go. They would pay money to different holy men walking around to bless them and pray for their journey. And in a sense, idolizing the concept of safety, wanting to do what they can to have a safe journey. Our culture, the global culture, is full of visible and invisible idols. Whether a statue in a temple, a holy site, an idol such as comfort or pleasure or net worth or family. What about us? What about our hearts? What and or who are we idolizing over against the one true God? Are you and I bothered by the idolatry around us that so bothered and provoked Paul to action? And what are we doing about this idolatry? Because these carved idols, these silent deities, these powerless blocks of wood, hay, and stubble erected to worship are just that, powerless. But Paul goes on and transitions in verse 24 to talk about the great God who reigns. He says, the God, verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made by man. He's not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. One commentator writes that the idea of God being the granter of life and breath, as indeed the entire point in this passage can be found. It can also be found all throughout the Old Testament. It's the biblical concept of a sovereign creator who stands above his creation and to whom humanity as creatures is ultimately responsible. Such a God cannot be enshrined in human temples or manipulated by human cult. There is but one sovereign God, creator of all. To know him, they must abandon all their gods. Otherwise, he would remain to them an unknown God. Our God, our great God, wasn't made. He is the maker. He wasn't carved from stone. He spoke the stone into existence. He wasn't whittled from a tree. He made the tree. He spoke all things into existence. He needs nothing. Paul's God and our God is the creator who spoke galaxies into existence. Every galaxy, every microbe, every planet, every cell, every comet, every creature made by the hand of our almighty, great, amazing God. I was looking at some pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope. And this is one that's just, a small cluster of galaxies. The Hubble Space Telescope is orbiting in space, and its mirror, its lens of sorts, is around 7 feet in diameter. And I was reading earlier today that they're actually constructing another telescope that's going to be 21 feet in diameter and have the ability to see even more. It was originally supposed to launch a few years ago with a budget of $500 million, but now it's the budget has exceeded $10 billion and it has not yet launched yet, but maybe one day soon. Until then, we'll just have to enjoy these images from the Hubble telescope. Our God spoke this into existence. Awesome. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is a God who is knowable. The heavens declare his glory. Earlier this year, I was driving in the car, and on the radio or CD or whatever it was the song Joy to the World, and I got to the part of Heaven and Nature Sings. And Johnny, my five-year-old, he said, "Daddy, what does it mean for nature to sing?" So I turned on. I said, "Johnny, that's a great question. Let me tell you." I said, "Look at the trees." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Who made the trees?" He said, "God." I said, "Look at the sky. Who made the sky?" He said, "God." I said, "Look at the mountains and the sunrise and the." I said, "God, Johnny, who made all that?" He said, "God made all that." I said, "Johnny, when we look at the trees and the skies and the mountains and the seas and the sunrise and the sunset, those things that we can see, they tell us more about who God is. God is really creative, isn't he, buddy?" Heaven and nature sing. They proclaim, they declare who God is. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We have a great God and can learn about him from his awesome creation. We can know about him through his written word and the incarnate word, Christ Jesus. Our God is great. He is our creator. And as we'll see now, he is a great savior who promises an assured future for all who repent. The times of ignorance, verse 30, God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And for those Stoic and Epicurean ears, talk of the resurrection was a big deal. They didn't believe in bodily resurrection. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, "We will hear you again about this." And you can see the work of the Holy Spirit starting in the next verse. So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed. Powerless idols, man-made statues, have no power to rise from the dead. They weren't alive in the first place. Powerless idols have no power to forgive you and to forgive me from our sin. Only by the shedding of blood of a perfect, spotless sacrifice is there remission, forgiveness, cleansing from your sin and from my sin. Paul calls these very religious men, yet living in ignorance, he calls them to repent, to turn from their ways. On what basis? The resurrection. Christ is alive. Christ conquered death and offers mercy to the sinner. He offers truth to the ignorant and sight to the blind. He offered it then through the words of Paul. And Christ still today offers the gift of forgiveness from sin through you, through me, through his church, who has been called to go and to share and to live this good news for his glory. Some, at Paul's pleading, responded with belief, others with scorn. Some that we share with respond with belief, and some respond with scorn. And the day is fixed. This passage tells us, verse 31, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. A day is coming for us, for unbelievers, when we will be judged. And Paul compelled them then, and we must compel others now, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to believe and to believe in God, to repent of sin, to trust him. And for those who have believed, today is the day to continue believing. Today is the day to praise, to rejoice, to wonder at our great God who reigns, our great Creator God who spoke the world into existence, yet took the time and care to form his image bearers out of the dust of the ground and breathe into their nostrils the breath of life. As image bearers, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is still at work, even through the most unlikely situations, to spread his fame and glorify his name through his church around the world. Just this week, I was talking with an international student whom I have the privilege to work with, and she was sharing with me how her father, they are from the country of Korea, but they're missionaries to the country of the Philippines. And her father is a pastor there, and on the church property, they have kind of the equivalent of what we would call an urgent care, an MD360 type facility, not nearly as nice and equipped, but like a little clinic. And with some of the challenges in the Philippines with COVID and the hospitals being full in many cases, a lot of the people who are in need of treatment for COVID and other things have been finding their way to this clinic. And a clinic on a church property is really strategic in many parts of the world, because you find people and meet people who are in need, who are vulnerable. And in the case of this clinic, and they were utilizing some more, shall I say, Eastern medicinal practices, which take a little more time, like acupuncture and other things. And so these people, and she was telling me, these people are coming to this church property, getting treated, and they're seeing a remarkable rate of recovery from all kinds of things. And through that, they're able to share the gospel as these people that are waiting either on treatment or waiting during treatment. And people are coming to Christ through the most unlikely of situations. And I was so blessed by her account. And it reminded me afresh that you and me, her family in the Philippines, from Korea. God is doing a wonderful, marvelous work around the world. He is a great God. And He, in His grace, for His glory, uses us in our Monday morning commute, in our Tuesday afternoon coffee break where we run into someone. Every interaction we have with another image bearer is weighty, is significant. And through these interactions with other souls, with other individuals, with other image bearers, we have opportunity to glorify and magnify our great God. So what are the closing applications for tonight from these passages? Well, I think Paul would say, repent from your sin if you are not yet a child of God. And if you are, Paul would encourage you to compel others to repent and to turn from their sin to serve our great God. And he would also encourage us, along with the psalmist, to praise the Lord, to rejoice in his love for you, to marvel at his love for the church gathered, to rest in his goodness, in his care, and in his kindness. I'll call you all young people as we are closing our extended Not Just for Kids. Young people and some other not so young people, I want to encourage you with these truths. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And we have the privilege to be called His kids and have the privilege to call Him our Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. You truly are worthy to be praised with our every thought and deed. O great God in highest heaven, glorify your name through this church body, and may you go with us now to be the church scattered to honor and glorify your name this week, and may we marvel and praise you as the great God that you are. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray.